So good evening, everyone. So today is May already, huh? Wow, May 5th already. So today is May 5th. So the month and the days run by fast if you don't pay attention. And you will look back and you will see a lot of gray hair in your hair will be turned gray very fast. I look at my hair, and when I shave, then I didn't see it. But when I, you know, it's long and then it's half of my hair is already gray. So I know I'm getting old, but not old but not wise. Some of you will say old and wise, but old but not wise. And, so we were debating about when we was in class of debating. We say old and wise and old is not wise, and we was debating about boots. So old and wise are not our precedents.
No.
Bush. And it depends if we practice and we look deeply in life, then we, the more we become older, the more we become wise and insights. So if we look, if we live with mindfulness and contemplating in life, and the more you get older, the more you become ancient, then you become wise. So you got more experience in your body, in your mind, and experience in life. So become old and wise, just like the Buddha, old and wise. And many spiritual practitioners, the more they got aging, the more they become wise. So that's why in Buddhist tradition, I think I look back, I see that many teachers getting older, they become more, they have more work to do because more people are taking refuge in them because they got more experience in spiritual. Just like, for example, like Dalai Lama, like Thay, we never retire like spiritual teacher, like they never retire when they got older because they got wiser every day. Because they they are very mature in the practice. But for us, in the world of life, we become, the more we become aging, and we keep forgetting. That means we are not wise. Yes, and that's the sign. Because we are so much drowned in the sensual pleasure. And if we are, the more we drown in sensual pleasures, then the more we become not wise. Because our thinking is not deep. Most people who are in drawing sense of pleasure, their insight is not deep, very surfacing. Cool. They're always thinking of those that, you know, whatever, just sense of pleasures, the eye, ear, nose, tongue. They don't have time to look deeply into the body, the deteriorations of the body. So that's my little introductions to the three Dharma seals today. So we will go into that today. So first, I go to a little bit. This three Dharma seal is very much connects to what we studied, the 12 interdependence. So that's why I'm choosing it. I'm choosing this topic to study. And many teachers have been talking about this three Dharma seal. Are three marks of existence. So there is a little bit different idea on this three Dharma seals from the northern transmission and southern transmission here. So you know that after the Buddha passed away, so the teachings will be travel two different directions. One goes to the south, we call southern, and one goes to the north, we call northern transmission. So for the northern transmission, for the three Dharma seals, so the first Dharma seal is impermanence. So this is northern transmission. So just a comparison here. So and this is southern transmission. So it's the same number one here, same number two here, but this is two here. So two. So this is the same here, same, but number three here, for the certain transmittance or suffering. So that's the difference in the last two. This is the difference. This is the same. Impermanence the same. Non-self the same of number two. And for the northern transmission we call nirvana. And certain transmission we call suffering. So that's the difference. So we will talk about that later. So northern transmission is Mahayana. Mahayana transmission. So Mahayana is just like going to China, Tibetan. Is, you know, when the teaching goes to Tibetan, to China, to Mongolia, Vietnam, South, North Vietnam is both. North Vietnam is we influence from China, so it's Mahayana, Southern transmission. And in the South, we influence from Southern transmission, so we have Theravada. So this is Theravada, or foundation teaching, and this is Mahayana. That's different. So Korea, for this one, is like Korea, Japan, is Mahayana. China, Vietnam, and this is like Sri Lanka, Burma, Thailand, so Laos, Cambodia. So we will study both, like in the heart of the teaching of the Buddha, Bai Thai, he chose this one. But I think we will study both also, and you can see it's the difference. So that's a little bit of history there. So this is a foundation Buddhism, called Theravada. Right now it's called Theravada practice.
Which is great vehicle and small vehicle?
You know, it's literally great vehicle. That means you embrace everybody. Everybody. Great vehicle. Like big vehicle. So, if, for example, you got a bus, you can carry everyone. And if you have a small car, you only carry like four people or five people, right? So, that's the notion. Theravada. So we have to remove. So, in our study here, I try to remove the notions between Theravada and Mahayana, all the practice. So we don't discriminate why you are so small vehicle. And people mostly, if you study, you read the canon, you can see that a lot. And a lot of debating or a lot of judgment on the Mahayana and Theravada. So for myself, I try to remove that notion. I say it's all from the teaching of the Buddha, but it's what the level of you, how you receive it. So you don't have to discriminate why you have to be, you know, selfless, you know, and practice for yourself only. So this Theravada or small vehicle, you only practice for yourself, for example. That's the notion. And mostly it's based on a lot of emphasis on monastics. And because many people see that, and they say that only lay people only supportive for the monastics life. And people see that and they make the revolutions. They say that it's not right. Everybody have. If the Buddha said that everybody can be enlightened, so why are you excluding the lay people? You know, to only allow them into the sangha, and they also can be realization. So that is the revolution, and that's why. And this is mostly elderly, like we call conservative, for example, Republican, for example, something like that. and then this one you say you have to include everybody. Lay people can be enlightened also, and that's why. And this is a lot of people. So this is a lot of young people here, follow the Mahayana revolutions, because young people always young monastics or open, just the same young people. They're always open to receive different, you know, to receive. But when we're young and when we mature, and our mind become a little bit closed, so this is a lot of that. That's the notion. But for me, when I teach here, I just try to remove that notion. I say that everybody has the same. It doesn't matter. Once you realize, you see everybody suffering, you have to raise out your hand, and you have to, you know, help everybody. You know, it doesn't matter if you are foundation Buddhism or you are Theravada or you are Mahayana. You have questions?
When was it? I've often wondered in that understanding changed.
Mm-hmm.
Similar but different.
Mm-hmm.
How far back does it go? I mean, in Thailand and Laos, Cambodia.
You mean how long ago?
Yes.
This happened in the first and second century. First and second century. After the Buddha passed away, I think 150 years ago, around that time. And a lot of revolution took place. And that's why many schools is arising. Many 18 school, 25 school, different school was, you know, branched out, different school. So during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so we're here, so we will study, I think we will study both to, you know, we have the overlap between the first and second one, but why is Nirvana? Nirvana here is stillness, the notion of stillness or peacefulness. Or other translation is the absence of perceptions, extinction, we call it. In other words, extinction of perception or ideas. And this one go into meditations, because when you meditate, there's a lot of ideas, a lot of thoughts, thinking minds also arising during your meditations. And even during the day, but because our day is occupied by many things, we cannot see that thoughts that come to our mind. But when you meditate, there's a lot of perceptions, a lot of ideas that arising to you. So that's a little bit of history, so you know the different transmissions in the north and the south, and which country are that. So I think Vietnam is special country. The influence in the north, a lot of we don't have Theravada in the north, but as we go further south, because we a lot of Lao, Cambodia on that and Thailand border, so we have both Mahayana and Theravada practices. But I think more other countries, just like Thailand, mostly Theravadas, you know, and Sri Lanka, Burma, those countries. So in the heart of the Buddha, Tei, choosing this way, these three, impermanent non-self and Nirvana, because he say that many thousand years, many hundred years, that a lot of people emphasize suffering and when in the suffering of the suffering, you know, so we don't able to seize the joy or the happiness into it. But that's not the practice. Not the practice is to see the suffering, but the practice is to see for joy. But I think we have to sort of have what is the significance of lacking or extinction of notions of ideas, or what is the significance of suffering. I think both play the role in our practice, you know. Without joy, it's hard to move on. But without suffering, you cannot be mature in our practice. So we need both. We need joy, we need suffering. How can, without suffering, how can you enjoy the joy of joy? Because you don't see the suffering. Just an example, just like our kid in America, many young people taking for granted, so don't see the suffering. So for them, joy is very surfacing. But once you experience suffering, and joy become very deep joy. And so I think that we should study both, not just. So the first one, we go into impermanence, and impermanence here is a practice. It's a practice. We don't impermanence. What it means is constantly change. And you look into your life and you see your thought is constantly changed all the time, not two thoughts in two consecutive moments. It's changed constantly. So impermanent here is don't look into pessimistic. Because without impermanence, you cannot change. Because nothing can be grow. without impermanence. Without impermanence.
So when we look at impermanence, we look at transformation. And we look at change. And also we look at continuity. And also we look at healing. So transformation is, we look at the attitude of our behavior. You can transform them into positive or negative. You know, you can transform your behavior into different, into directions. So can you positive transformation and negative transformations? So for example, positive transformation, for example, when you look at the flower, and the flower at the beginning is look beautiful, right? And then it slowly it withers itself, and then it's turned into trash or compost. But if we, and then we look here, it's just like a time, not space yet, time. So we see that, and you can see some negative in there, but if you have a deeply looking, you say that kind of compost can be your nourish, go back into and turn back into the something that is nourishing. So we don't waste. We have the matter. We know how to use it when it's into the compost or trash. So this, for example, just like recycle. We know how to recycle the trash or the compost. Then it's turned back into the positive. So one day, you know, you put the compost for a while, and you put, you know, the flower, and you know, maybe it takes time, some time, for it to turn back into positive. So in the process, transformation is the process of slowly taking change ourselves. So it's taking some process of changing, but it has to be very continuity. So that's why. Last time we studied one of the conditions is continuity. The seed have to continue in different form, in different forms. So for example, when you have if you have children, you can see without impermanence, the children cannot be grow, and they cannot turn into something that beautiful. Children, for example. If you have children, you can see them grow. And that is They have to go through the impermanence of their body, changing, impermanence. And it's the same as us. If without impermanence, then we cannot grow, we cannot change ourselves. So topic is impermanent, talking about. So don't be scared of impermanence. No, don't be afraid of impermanence. And without impermanence, there is no liberation, you know, because for example, you have a lot of suffering yourself. And without impermanence, how can you change that suffering, that pain in yourself? So impermanent is the objects of our practice every day. So the Buddha say that impermanence is like a big footprint. It's like footprint of the elephant. He say in one of the sutra, he say that it's the footprint of the elephant, because you know elephant is something, his feet is very big, her feet is very big. So the objects of the key to liberation, impermanence, is all key to liberation. And it's always changing or processing itself constantly. It's never two consecutive movement. It's kind of repeat itself. So there is one saying that you cannot take a bath in the same river twice. And that's true. You go to the river, you're able to never take a bath the same water. That's one of the philosophy saying that. But it's very matching with the teaching of the Buddha. That means the teaching of impermanent. You never take a bath twice. So that means impermanent changing moment by moment itself. But sometimes it's changing so subtle that we can see. Just like our body, you can look at your face today and tomorrow, it's different. But because it's too subtle, you cannot see. Because every cell is dying in your face, and you can see that. But when you take a shower, you can see, you scrub and you can see some dirt coming out. I mean, your cell is dying, because we don't know that. And but that's so our face is, the whole body is impermanent. So impermanent make everything. So for example, if our emotional is permanent, then we will suffer forever. If you have strong emotion, so when you have suffering, you know that your suffering also impermanent. So you don't have to very depressed on that. Because it's like roller coaster. It's up and down, that your emotions. Even love, you know, love have to be very impermanent too. You change your perceptions of love every moment. So when you first in love and you love that person so great, and you say that, oh, how can I be without this person, you know, just for one day, when you first in love, did you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, when you first in love, and I have that myself too when I was young, I'm still young, but you know, when you miss one person, you say, how can I, you know, survive with this person for a day, you know, you're missing so much. And then the first year you say, you know, so every your love is so great, you know, you're so great. And the second year is now a chain. Your love deteriorates. And the third year your love becomes turned into frustration. Anger. Now you say, how come I survive with, you know, how can I stay with this person for one more day? Now you file, divorce. Yes. How can I stay with this, you know? First you say, cannot live with this person, you know? But now you can no more. You can no longer stay for one day. You see, and how your life changed all the time. So that's why the Buddha just have to renew our love. Because we don't know that our love is very impermanent also. And you don't know that you are yourself very impermanent. And you don't realize the person that you love is also very impermanent. Very impermanent. So we have to remind ourselves all the time of impermanence. And we have to practice, not just only intellectually. If you do, you study impermanent or you intellectually, it will not change you. It will not change you. Unless you are permeating, penetrating, experiencing the impermanent yourself in every moment. Then everything you become, you do, is become a gift. It's a gift. And the person you encounter is a gift. It doesn't matter who that person is. It can be a children, but it can be a dog. Or it can be your loved one. So you treasure everyone you encounter. So now the universe will now become a gift for you in every moment of life. So once you're able to realize that, you will be creating joy, because everything around you is a joy. This my trip to Baton Rouge this last week. On my way back, on my way to Baton Rouge, I got some obstacle. And not obstacle, but because we have to transfer. I transfer. In Dallas to Baton Rouge, and the flight is small planes, and there's a lot of people, you know, a lot of people, you know, missed their flight and waiting and have a lot of
and many people have emergency thing to do, emergency. So the apply, you know, the people who check the tickets, they ask for people who volunteer to stay back. Nobody do, you know, like so at first they offer like 200 prize, nobody, you know, nobody move on over there because we already delayed 1 hour. 1 hour delayed. Impermanent. I'd say first half an hour and then it's next 1 hour. And everybody was rushing home or do something, have doctor appointment, there's some doctor, you know, I have to go to doctor appointment tomorrow and things, and everybody and will stand by, a lot of people will stand by, you know, and the plan is overbooked too. So everybody was waiting to go to Bandus. I don't know what happened there, but everybody was waiting. And the last minute, nobody volunteered. And so they raised up, increased up the price, 250, and still nobody. And then I just wait, and say nobody. And then last minute, I say, okay, I can stay, you know, why not? So already, you know, it's by like 7 or 6 o'clock, right? If I back, I go to Bandus, it's 8, so it's all night. So I just go there and rest, you know, all night. So I because I have something to do too, but I didn't have to be hurry, you know. So I say I volunteer to stay, and they give me like a voucher for dinner, a voucher for breakfast, $250 voucher for the next trip. It's nice. It's nice, yeah. So I take that, stay there overnight, and then next morning I fly out 7 o'clock, you know, reach there by 8:40. I still continue to do my work, you know? And yeah, so I really enjoy them. We have a lot of monks coming, about 50 monks and nuns come for celebration Buddha birthday and installations of the temple, huge temple. So I really enjoy meet many new monastics. It's nice to go and learn some things. So and then I'm on my way back. It's more impermanent. So I go back and transfer at Dallas again, and the fly, nothing delayed until, and then the fly took off on time, and then we fly for an hour already. It's on the sky, and there is emergency calm, and then the fly have to return. So we will fly out for an hour already, and then because some people was very ill on the plane. And he couldn't speak, he couldn't breathe anything, but we know and say when we hear the pilot say that now we have to return, and we will tell you the reason later, and you know, and I don't know what happened, you know? And when I hear that, and I was listening to the, you know, Dharma talk on the, and to the Dharma talk, and then I took out one ear and hear the announcement, and I say, oh, something happened, and said that now we have to return, and now I say I stop listening to the Dharma. I say, no more, and then I say now I have to do something, you know, I don't know what happened, because maybe terrorists or, you know, and everybody was, you know, so the pilot didn't say anything. He said just we have to return, we will tell you, you know, the reason later. And I tell myself at the moment, I say, you know, I say, what happened when I'm die, you know? Now I practice, I say. So now it's time to practice. So I take out my beat, you know, like praying beat, and I sit next to the guy, and he also take out his Bible. He was reading his newspaper, and then suddenly everybody hears the announcement, next guy, and his big Bible like this, you know, red, and he... practice now. I take out my beat, and, you know, that's also, you know, practice. I say, wow, it's impermanent, you know, I don't know what happened. Maybe the engine might be die, or, you know. And then, so what's the best thing to do at the moment? We don't know. You know, suddenly you can be die, you know, because the engine can be cracked, and some people, you know, like terrorists, or something happened because there is no engine. It's just like blind, you know, so the leading unit is blind, so you don't know what happened. So the best is to, so I say, now Dharma is not help. Help, because if you don't practice theoretically Dharma, it will not help you. Unless you really, so I told myself to sit back and, you know, and take some deep breath. And at first I hear that, I was, you know, shocked myself, you know, even though I practice, but I'm shocked because I don't know. So I say, now I have to live out everything, you know, tempo and everything. No more tempo. Now I have to come back to my breathing and really calm myself. So the best thing is to at that moment is the moment, because you don't know what happens. So the best thing, if you towards to pass away at the moment, you have to be at peace. And that's the best way you can do. So impermanence, you don't know what happened. So that guy, he, I don't know, he have a heart attack or something. So when the plane land, and you know, and we see a lot of medical crews coming, and we know that, and then they make an announcement that says there is one person who is unable to speak, unable not, he couldn't move himself, anything. So I think he have a heart attack or something, or swine flu or something, I don't know. And so impermanence, you know, he, when we are very healthy, we don't know when you depart in this life. So the best time is to prepare every moment. But we are, as human, we have a tendency to not practice, to forget ourselves very easily, very easy. Because the teaching of impermanence is not really in us. Not really in us. So if we are, the teaching of permanence is very alive in us, then every moment become, we value every moment. We don't waste our time in our movement. We don't wait for tomorrow to practice. Because we always have underestimate our health. When we youth, we overestimate that. We look something more in the future, something external. And eat lie, eat lie, no, sir. Eat lie.
Oh, you take it for granted?
Yeah, you take your health for granted. And so we don't realize our life very short. So the teaching of impermanence is very crucial. It's a practice. It's a practice. So when the teaching of impermanence in your cell, in your blood, in your bone, in your marrow, you go treasure every moment of your life. Every moment of your life. And you will treasure the person you encounter. The person you encounter in your life. And we don't, you don't create suffering for yourself. And we can see, look at our reality in society today, we can see that, because why is many people suffering, and why many divorce taking place? Because we don't realize the impermanence. We forget the impermanence. Why are we angry? Because we don't aware that we are, what angry will do for us and for our loved one. So we live in ignorance. That is the first link. We live in ignorance a lot of time. So the teaching is to be relive. The teaching family have to be resurvive in our everyday practice. If we're able to permeate the teaching in ourselves, in our everyday life, then every step you make, you will joy will generate, or peace will generate. And we don't look for external things. Life become much simpler. You don't need much to be happy. As long as you have a healthy breath. Some people, they don't have healthy breath. As long as you have a healthy food, healthy body, and everything you encounter will be happy. Become turning to happiness, turning to joy. Because the Buddha said that everything you treasure one day have to be leave you. Every transcendence one day have to leave you. Even your love, your dearest one, have to. So that's all, you have to embrace every moment of your life. Making every moment of your life as a gift, because you know that everything you come to you will be, when condition sufficient, will come together. But when there is condition is lacking, this will be falling apart and will be left out of your hand. Even your dear loved one, your children. So most of we live in forgetfulness, so we don't see that. And then we create suffering for ourselves. And we become grasping, even the idea of angry. Sometimes you try to hold on your anger because you don't want to see that person, really. You don't want to see that person. Loved one, your parents, sometimes. Many of us, we have a lot of pain with our parents. Because they don't know, and we don't know. And our parents blame us, we blame our parents, right? Bad, that's why. Our parents cannot see, and we cannot see the impermanent that one day we have to leave your parents. And that's reality. Maybe you can see that nobody can stay with their parents forever. And no parents stay with their children forever. No, forever. We just come with each other and count each other a short moment. Maybe 30 years. But you can look back when you pass 30, you look back just like a moment. Just like yesterday or maybe a couple of hours ago. But look ahead, you see 30 years, it came very long. But when I look back. When I look back for my time in the United States, 22 years away, just like yesterday. But when we look ahead, you say 22 years is a long way to walk. But look back, it's very short. So when you like, for example, if you are 60, you look back for your 60 year in life, It's like yesterday. And what damage we have created, what joy you have brought to life. So our body is impermanent, our emotion is impermanent, our ideas is impermanent. Your idea is maybe yesterday is value, but maybe today is no longer value. This value in a short time, short moment, your perceptions. Sadness. Many of us, when you retire, you're quite lonely. So, yeah, many people I talk to when they retire, that's why they don't know how to contemplate, practice with their self. And many years you have been look for external already. So when you retire and you feel that there's an empty space in you, in your heart, in your mind. Now you don't know what to do with those time, and sometimes you become crazy. Yes, do crazy things. When on our vacant time, because we have so much fear in that vacant time, we don't know how to contemplate. We don't know how to practice. Now you spend that time for blaming for your children. You convict your children. Or you convict yourself. Yes. Convict yourself. So that's why the Buddha says that that's why we live in foolish and in ignorance like that. We spend that time to make ourselves suffering. So at the same time, impermanence can be very nurtured too, if you know how to practice, nurture. But if we don't know how to practice, then it becomes destructions. Because we are very afraid of impermanence, you know. When things impermanent, we are very fear. Because normally you take refuge in those that. And then when things fall apart, and we have nothing to hold on. And you yourself turn into fear. For example, if the house that we live in, and suddenly something has happened to the house, and we become crazy, and you take fuel in your job, refuse in your job. For example, there is people in California, they kill themselves when they lost job. See? Because they are, the job is impermanent, right? But when they have that job, they live, they, for example, they have a higher salary. So they don't want to go back to work, you know, like McDonald's or some lower salary. The ego is too big. They're afraid of loss in face. You see? So they kill themselves. They kill their wife. They kill their children. You see that it's very dangerous in our society. Because they don't realize that society, the Buddha said that every regime is impermanent. It's like a roller coaster. It's even United States, you know, right now we might be a little bit, you know, you can see that many cycles have been went through in your life. Many cycles. So when you realize that teaching is impermanent, you accept everything when it's come to you. You accept, you open to accept, to receive. You don't resist. So when you're able to accept, then you become a free person. You become a free person. You fully accept yourself. Doesn't matter what kind of situation. Then you will be the person happiest in the world. Whether you have a slipper to walk on, it's okay. But whether you don't have a slipper, you can walk. Just like when you look back the life of the Buddha, he's a princess, right? But he's able to let it go. He knows that one day he has to let it go. So why don't I let it go now? You know? Instead, when I get old, and he let go everything. And he have, once he let go everything, what? He have everything. He have the whole world. He have the whole world. He know that everything is impermanent. His parents, his wife, when he's a princess, and his palace, all gone. And he open to accept and receive. And now become a beggar. You see? Yeah, he become a beggar. And a beggar, but he live very happy as a beggar. Beggar, but fully as a beggar. Because he's able to live joy fully in the moment. That he's smart. He's intelligent. That is what I have in the moment. I will be joy. I will be happy. So when able, you're able to permeate the jitter impermanent wherever you go, whatever you do, nothing will be blocked away. Happiness will become with you. Doesn't mean you once you permeate or you understand the teaching of impermanent, doesn't mean you have to be passive. No. You will be, if you understand impermanent, you will be become the most active person in life. Just like the Buddha, you see. He received disciple until the last moment of his life. He able to teach the last moment of his life. He's not passive. You do to change things in a positive way. Once you realize impermanent, you don't give up anything. You don't give up anything. You work for life. You work for everyone. Because your hand now, your heart is now so vast, so open. And so open. And you enjoy so much life. Once you enjoy life, you will be enjoying more life. Because you're not, you know, your emotion is impermanent, your anger is impermanent, so why don't you have to anger everybody? You don't have to anger everybody. When things come, you open to receive. You see your emotion arise. And you can see it subsides or is easy itself. Just when you see it, you don't react, but you see it. That is the skillness. So when you see your emotion and you don't act upon it, because if you act upon it, you already carry by it. So when you see it, you're able to manage and sit and see. So the skill is to see it clearly. But if you act, you will be act upon compassion. And once you see impermanent, you do everything to help. Because you remove yourself. You see that person impermanent, you yourself also impermanent. Now it's the barrier is removed. The barrier is removed from that. But this is need the practice. We cannot say it by or intellectually. Actually, to put it in your the step that you make, the breath that you make, the breathing that you take. For example, you say your breathing is very impermanent. Some breathing is very subtle. Some breathing is very gross. You know, very gross. So need a lot of contemplating and a lot of application on this one, on the impermanent teachings. And experiment for yourself in your body. In your body, in your everything, in your emotions, in your thoughts. You see that for yourself when you see meditations. Someday your body is very at peace. Someday your body is very like a wave, like a turbulence. Turbulence. That's impermanent. And it's affecting with the weather inside and outside. Outside and inside. So that's why we say that, that's why the teaching of the Buddha interconnected is very important. You can see the weather outside, the weather in your body, in your mind. Changing constantly. But doesn't mean that you have to carry by that change. By carry by that change. But most of us carry by that change. And that control our life, change and control. Because if you don't practice impermanent very deeply, you will regret life a lot in your life. Because in your life, many people come to your life and never will come, will go, leave you. And you will regret. Because when they come with you and you don't be fully with them, and when they leave, then you will regret. Maybe your wife, your children, your friends, your teachers, regret. That happened to many people. You just wait until they depart and you cry. Yes, you cry, we cry. And cry and cry, and many days you lay in bed. Become repressed because we don't live with them wholeheartedly. So you become attached and regret. So the impermanent is help you to live life fully, moment by moment, second by second, so that you don't. One day you depart from this life, from this world, you say, I'm happy, and you smile. So you have to live in such a way that when you come to flight, people smile. But you, when you depart this life, people smile. And you smile. And many of us, we come to this life, people smile. But you, people smile, but you cry, right? You cry. But when you depart this life, people cry, you cry too. You have no time to joy, enjoy. So you have to practice in such a way that when you come to this world, you cry, but when you depart this world, you smile. And then you will be got a fruitful life. Fruitful life. That's just only the awakened person can do that. Only awakened person. But that the quality of awakened is embedded in everyone. Is embedded. Everybody have the right to do that. But whether we have the willingness to do that or not, the heart to do that or not, that's your decision, your choice. Your choice. So that's why free will. You choose your own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Buddhism, we nobody do choose the destiny for you. You choose your own destiny, where you want to go. So so you don't blame, we don't blame any other people, but blame ourselves. Look at ourselves and see. But many of us, we are, normally we do have a tendency to blame the external, outside, other people. It's the cost. But we don't realize that we ourselves. We ourselves is the cost of our own pain, our own suffering. So the practice is, that's why the Buddha says, go back and take refuge in yourself. So when you chant, the chanting of refuge is very crucial. You know, at the beginning you see that? There's three different stages of taking refuge. Yeah. First you look at the Buddha and you take refuge in the Buddha. Just like a mirror. Okay? And then slowly, at the end you have to go back and take refuge in myself. That's very deep practice. Deep practice. But we don't know that, and we say very deep practice. That's allow you the choice, the chance to go back. To take refuge in yourself. So when you read the three refuge, it's kind of contemplations and practice. So today I just talk a little bit about on the first one, impermanence. So you're able to see that, you can see the chain transformation, and the end is the healing, and the next one is joy. You can see that. So if you have the heart and you have the willingness to put that practice in your everyday life, you will see the change very dramatically about your attitude to life. And you will have the ability to accept things easily in all situations. In all situations. Accept, looking deeply, and let go of your ideas, of your perceptions, of your emotions, of your hatred. Because hatred is also very impermanent too. But because we are have a tendency to hold on to our own hatred, sometimes we hate our body. See? Our body, we hate our body. The way we look. The way we look. But you don't realize that your body is changing, impermanent. So if you go back and totally accept your body, you know, look into your body, and you see it will be changed in your body. So it's not a denying, but just go back and receive in your body, receive whatever, and open yourself and So the point is not to look into impermanence, not to be passive, but to act and to love and to care. Act, love, and care, you know, for your own self and for other people. So that you once you do that, then you don't create pain in your body, because you're able to accept your body, you're able to care for your body, you're able to love for your body, you're able to act upon that, and so you don't create a barrier between you, the self, and the body. And you will be, automatically you become perfect in your own self, in your own body. Yeah. Because your view of your body, the view of your way you looked. And that view, that way of thinking, and slowly save your body. Save your body. Save your body. Because when you resist the body, and then you, like, people depressed, for example, and they sleep and sleep and don't do anything. So they accumulate resistance in the body. And that resistance accumulates. And the fat is accumulate in the body. You see that? Because they no longer become an active person. Everything is passive. When the people is depressed, and slowly they gain their way. So I just this morning I just went to take the ass of one person he's 24 years old. His life is very miserable. And he, I think his life is very depressed. And he got heart attack at 24 years old, and he passed away without anybody know in his room. Just 24 years old, you see, now. And he don't have the direction in life. He don't have the view in life. He met many friend that is not good friend, so they fall into jail. His life mostly in jail, and when he got out of jail for just, his mom said, just about several months. And his mom, they poor, so they don't have any. They are very poor and poor material, but poor spiritually. They don't know what to do with their life. And he just can eat and just can't wait. And nobody saw him the way out of that, you see. He's unlucky. And his mom don't know, no can help him. And he just in and out from prison, just in and out. And that's how his life is. And that's many young people. Now society is like that. There's no direction to go, because we live in a society that they give us opportunity. You know, I think in American is there is many opportunities, but at the same time many traps. Many traps for young people. Many traps. So if they are lucky, they can meet one person, just one person. Just keep them directions, view, life. Take over their life. So if you're lucky, you meet someone like that. It's like Bodhisattva. We need some Bodhisattva to manifest and so in life. We need Bodhisattva. So his life very impermanent. He's 24 years old, live very present in jail, in and out of jail. Joy against it, and He's very, his mom said he's very innocent. His can his friend tell him do anything, he can do it. He do it. He innocent but no insight, you see? He's become foolish, unwise. Unwise persons. Instead of going out, you know, go to school, you know, take opportunity to go to school. In this society we have opportunities, and I think he don't see the suffering. He's suffering, but he don't see the way of suffering. See, he's suffering. We don't see other way of our suffering. No light in that direction. So he's here. He's here, but he don't see the way out. So I see the impermanent in that boy. He's 24. So I do. So they call me on Friday, but I couldn't do anything on Friday. And I say I have the already have schedule. So they cremate him and ask me to bring him to the temple and to chant for him, and I do what I can, you know, to offer, even though I hopefully his, you know, his consciousness can see, hear and offer to receive my love for him. And I see that and I look at that as a lesson, you know, into impermanent life. So many of you have children. I think we have to help give them directions. You don't give them material, but you give them directions, guide them directions. So when they have the directions to go in life, they will walk. You as a brother in society, you as a sister in society, you as a parent in society, we have to help them out in that directions. Many young people. I see that in the Vietnamese community, I see that in Lao communities, I see that in English Western society communities, everyone. So we need a community that, that's why we come as to support each other in that way. Maybe we don't support you material, but we support you in the directions to see. When you see that, so you know what to do in your life. You don't let your life flow like a we call bell, something that's flow on the river. No. You take hold of your life, you take charge of your life. But young people, they can do that and they can take charge of their life.
Here they
are. Oh, really?
Can you speak a little louder?
Okay. Yeah, so so when we have the view, then we can take charge our lives easily. And every step you take, every step you make, you will take charge of that. Of your life. So once every time I go to funeral, I have different, very deep looking into impermanent. I go to funeral for young people, for mature people, for adult people, and look at that. And take it as a lesson and contemplate on that. And take hold of your life, take charge of your life. And don't blame. So, blame will not do anything good for your life. It will get you worse and it will bring you down. And bring you down. Never blame anything. When things happen, you take it as a lesson and to grow. To make yourself stronger, and don't lie there and, you know, and blame. Many of us we blame our parents, we blame our societies, blame anything that we can see and we can blame. So once you see impermanent, we'll take charge of your life. And once the young people are able to see the impermanent, they can take charge of their life. And they will do things positively, actively, for one's own self. So the matter is to look really deep and see. That's the inside. So the inside will show you, let you everywhere to go, all directions to walk your life. when you look at the tree further on, you can see impermanent. Yes, impermanent. The tree is very big, very strong, but you don't know when the storm passed through. Just like us when you were very healthy, for example. And suddenly, you collapse. Suddenly you collapse, and you don't know that moment. You don't know that moment. So we have to take charge every moment of our life and look into that. So today, in the last few days, I have many lessons. When I travel, when I go to funerals. So I think the Buddha gave the tool for us to do that in ourselves. So today I just want to go over that with you and contemplate on that and put that in your life so that you can have more insight for yourself. So when you have the insight, you will solve a lot of problems for yourself. And you can live more happy and accepting yourself easily. So thank you everyone for listening. So next time we go into the next two Dharma seals. So I didn't have give you a chance to share your question. Last time I asked you to bring your question and your insight to share with class. So next time you have an opportunity to remind me to have your opportunity to share that and with everybody. So this Sunday we will have a community work for prepare for the Buddha birthday. So if you have a chance to come and work together and support together each other's. Some of you have make donations for the gravel funding, so we have so they will bring gravel maybe tomorrow or Thursdays to cover some of our dirt, yeah. And, so to make it beautiful for people to come on Buddha birthday. So we will stop here. Start our meditation. So in your meditation, bring in your teaching, bring in the teaching of impermanence. See how your thought impermanence and how your feelings impermanent. So you can experience that for yourself. So I will invite Twisada Bell, who can stop here.